Chris Graham joins me this week to discuss all-in-one brewing systems. This is Beersmith Podcast number 224.
This is the Beersmith Home Brewing Show, where brewing great beer is our passion. If you want to take your brewing to the next level, visit beersmith.com, where you can download a trial version of our Beersmith software, subscribe to the newsletter, and get dozens of free articles on home brewing. And now, your host and the author of Home Brewing with Beersmith, Brad Smith.
This is Beersmith Podcast number 224, and it's late October 2020. Chris Graham joins me this week to discuss all-in-one brewing systems. Thank you to this week's sponsors, Craft Beer and Brewing Magazine. Every issue of Craft Beer and Brewing Magazine is packed with articles for homebrewers and beer lovers. They offer access to videos, brewing courses, exclusive articles, and the amazing Craft Beer and Brewing Magazine. Go to beerandbrewing.com to get your subscription today. Again, that's beerandbrewing.com. And also the Brew Commander, the new brewhouse controller from Blickman Engineering. It's available in electric and gas propane models. The patent-pending Brew Commander is a high-quality brewhouse controller that offers automated step mashing, boil timers, precision temperature control, and advanced settings. Command your brew day with the new Brew Commander from Blickman Engineering. Again, that's blickmanengineering.com. For more information, go to blickmanengineering.com. And finally, I urge you to give Beersmith 3 Brewing Software a try. If you've not downloaded the new 3.1 updates for mobile and desktop, grab it now, as it includes improved data storage, additional dry hop options, new mash pH models, and a whole lot more. To download your free 21-day trial, go to beersmith.com today. Again, that's beersmith.com. And now let's jump into this week's episode. Today on the show, I welcome back Chris Graham. Chris is president of More Beer and has been brewing for over 19 years. Chris has taught at the Seibel Institute and is a former board member on the Brewers Association Board of Directors and the American Homebrewers Association Governing Council, right, Chris? How you doing, Chris? Good to have you back on the show.
Doing great, Brad. Thanks for having me on. I always look forward to these shows.
So how have you been doing since we last talked to you? Surviving the pandemic, I hope.
I was going to say, we've had a little thing called the pandemic, which has flipped worlds upside down. Cool for homebrewing in that, you know, a lot of people are stuck at home. And so homebrewing's gotten a lot of energy put into it, which has been fantastic.
I saw a pretty big pickup in the spring. And it slowed down a little bit but since then, I think, right?
Yeah, I think it slowed down in terms of everybody was looking for hobbies that they can do at home and why not make beer? You know, my friends who exercise say buying any piece of gym equipment was next to impossible. And some homebrewing things got to be like that. But luckily, supply chain has been getting a little bit better and had a ton of challenges like any other company, especially our face-to-face side of things and vendor sides of things and things such as call centers and whatnot, where we've had to reimagine all of them. But I think in the long run, it's kind of set us up for more distributed workforce, which is actually kind of cool.
And that's interesting. I mean, you have one of the largest homebrew shops in the country, right? So how have you managed that transition?
Well, we closed the retail stores right away. All our retail stores are in counties that, you know, our county here was one of the first six in the nation to shut down. And so we closed our retail stores when we did that right away. And, you know, we sent everyone who works for us home who can work from home. Obviously, you can't ship orders from home. That'd be weird. But, you know, so all of a sudden, you know, I have a phone system and it's right here behind that screen. And I'm used to having people, you know, a couple hundred feet away in a call center. And now I've got to get everyone virtually in VPNs and such, working on call quality through those and VoIP and all of that good jazz. In the long run, it'll make it easier. I won't actually have to have a server in my office if I don't want to anymore. And it allows us to hire from a bigger pool of people. We can hire from farther away, which is great because you don't need to drive in anymore.
Right. And of course, you're in California, which is quite expensive too, right?
Absolutely. One of the highest out there. So it'll be interesting how it all plays in. And, you know, we're in the Bay Area, so we're around tech. I have a lot of friends in tech, and it's been interesting of how many think they will probably never go back to an office again based off of what their companies are saying, such as Twitter, Facebook, and some of the other big guys.
Have you been working at home as well? I've been at home for almost 10 years, so this is not a huge change. But
that's your norm. Well, since I do all the IT in addition to a lot of our marketing, I kind of have to come in to make sure everything's working, everything's running. I do have young twins at home who are in second grade this year. And since that's all homeschool, my wife and I both think it's better that I come to the office because less distractions on both sides of the table.
Nice. Well, today you actually wanted to talk about all-in-one brewing systems, and you know there's some new options available to brewers. Can you start maybe a little bit by telling us about what makes an all-in-one brewing system?
Cool. Well, you know, there's been a few that have been around for a while, but the popularity really picked up in the last few years. So think of it essentially as a brew in a bag concept. But instead of it being a bag, it's a stainless, we call it a malt pipe, but basically a stainless, instead of a basket with a false bottom built into it and such that goes inside of your boil kettle, and it's all controlled digitally and, electric as opposed to a traditional gas-fired type burner system. Mm-hmm. So essentially you have this thing that looks like a big commercial coffee urn, if you will. You're going to do your mash right inside of it. And then when the mash is done, you literally pull up and lift out the mash, let it drip in, and then remove it. And then now you're right into your boil. And from there on out, it's like any other electric system.
So very much like, basically it's a brew in a bag system with a stainless basket, I guess, instead of a bag, right?
That's exactly it. And all of the ones we're going to talk about today are electric instead of gas, which is a pretty big departure for myself. Since they're electric, you know, most of the ones that are really, really popular here in the United States are 110. So you're limited in volume. And so most of us using them are making 5 gallon batches.
Right. Because it's to go to a 10 gallon system. I actually have a 10 gallon system. You really do have to have 220, which most of us here in the US don't really have laying around, right? Maybe for the dryer, but that's about it.
Exactly. If you're going to do 220, which we have a lot of customers who have it in their house, they have a big enough panel, blah, blah, blah. But they're usually dealing with an electrician at that point to get it, you know, a plug close to where they want to brew.
And I don't know if we talked about this before, for safety, it's very important that you have a GFCI plug as well, right?
Exactly. And that's where I was just about to go is, you know, you're dealing with liquids and electricity. So, you know, I wouldn't recommend putting in your own plug unless you are an electrician or have electrician experience or whatnot. And you do want to make sure you do that with the GFCI.
Yeah. So even for the 5 gallon, it's really good if you have a GFCI. Now, most of us have that in, if you got a modern house, you have that in your kitchen or bathroom, typically if you're close to water, right?
Exactly. And many of them have one built in as well.
And so just for those who don't know, the GFCI plug's the one with a little test and reset button on it, you know, so you can reset it, right?
You mean the one my wife accidentally presses once in a while when she goes to use their hair dryer and tells me the power's out?
Yeah, that happens. So what are some of the advantages of these kinds of systems?
So, you know, I think the number one for me that I was shocked with, I used one of these systems and I brewed on a fair amount of the ones we'll go over today.
Yep.
The number one thing that shocked me when using it is volume, like loudness, quiet, how quiet they are because it's electric. And I'm so used to on a brew day having the gentle hum of a burner going pretty much all day long. And sometimes it's not gentle. Sometimes it's quite loud because I'm trying to get it up even faster. So just from a change in brewing, that's one of like the bigger advantages that I didn't expect. The next one is it's fairly convenient in that most of these are all 110. So it's, you know, you can plug these in anywhere in the house. What I don't recommend is going too far of a distance. I brew in the backyard with mine. I have buddies over. We're dads of second graders. And we do run it off an extension cord, but I buy like those oversized gauge ones. But they do heat up quite a bit. So you are losing some power in going through them. They recommend plugging right into the wall. But where we want to brew, we don't have that ease of with a 6-foot cord to plug right in.
Right. But I imagine most people work off, like I said, in the kitchen or some of the countertop kind of thing, right?
And you could easily do it in the kitchen. Now, it is going to make steam. That's the one thing you do want to kind of equate for is where you are brewing. Just know that anything boiling, you're going to have steam coming off. I love the smell. Other people don't always love it. Spouses and such aren't always fond of that. But it's just convenient that way. And with that, they're small, relatively. I used to have a 20-gallon three-tier system, or not three-tier, but three-vessel system. And man, storing that thing was a pain and parts would be all over the place. Well, these are, you know, like 9-10 inches in diameter and about 2 feet tall, maybe 2.5. So, and everything stores right inside of it. So it kind of nests. And so I keep one in my garage and I'm not known to have the neatest garage. And my wife and kids have all kinds of stuff in there. But when I want to brew, it's so easy to just pull right out, light. And it cleans super easy. They travel well. I helped do a 40th birthday recently where they wanted to brew in someone's backyard. Very odd that it was all socially distanced, but it came out pretty well. And it was just fun in that we were able to brew in somewhere I've never brewed before, but bring all my equipment with me. And by bring all my equipment, it was pretty darn easy because almost everything is contained just right in the unit.
Yeah, I have a 10-gallon Blickman Brew Easy, which is, you know, it's got a 20-gallon boil prod, and it's a fairly sizable system. It's an all-day affair to brew. And, you know, since the pandemic, I've actually been looking at maybe getting one of these countertop systems just because it's also hard for me to consume 10 gallons of beer all by myself. We're not having the social events and the brew club meetings and the stuff we were doing in the past. So, I think that's another advantage, right?
Exactly. The size is just right. A lot of the early on fully automated systems were a bit small. 1 gallon, 2.5 gallon, probably the most popular one. It's just like, oh, that's just a little bit too small. These are, a convenient size. And one of the cool things is many of the ones we're going to go over have some automation. Mm-hmm. So it just makes some basic repeatability. These are definitely not hands-off units. These are not the Zymatics where you can just set it up, walk away, come back at the end. Right. These are ones you're going to interact with. But anytime you can get some temperature control, some timers built in, basic things like that, it just becomes a little bit easier to repeat things going forward. And probably the biggest advantage of these things is their cost. The downside is none of these are made in the States. Mm-hmm. And because, not because of, one of them's made in Germany, and it's the most expensive one, coincidentally, but the cost of these are so low that the barrier to entry, you get into your big system, a few thousand dollars, I think. I could be wrong on that.
No, you're absolutely right.
Yeah. My big, 20-gallon or 10-gallon three-tier systems, $6,000. It's, these are big things where now we're talking $350, $400, $500, up to, the ones we'll go up to are, up to like the nicest, fanciest one is $1,500. Mm-hmm. I lied. $2,000 is the fanciest one, or most expensive one we're going to cover
probably,
today.
Probably a larger system though too, right?
It is. It's yeah. 220. It's the grandfather. It's like almost 19 gallons. It's huge.
Yeah. So that's big.
Yeah.
So those are all their advantages.
There's one disadvantage, like anything else. We make trade-offs when we do these things. Mm-hmm. And this isn't, I would call this like, yes, you can make great beer. Yes, I think you can use these and love them. And that's kind of what I've switched over to. So that should speak volumes. But you're not going to get as technical as you probably are, Brad, in the system you're using. You're not going to be able to change it up as easily. and do different things on it. You're going to kind of brew in a aligned with the way these are set up to brew. You can't just say, "Oh, I'm going to have two mash tuns today, and party guile that, or you know, and put them all into one, and then boil that." You're not going to do any that are above how much grains it can hold. You're just not going to be able to do whatever you want. But I don't think many people are doing that on the regular basis. So with this in mind, the ones I'm going to call like the entry level, they're all 16 to 18 pounds of grain per 5 gallons. There's not a whole lot of batches.
Yeah, that's quite a bit. I mean, if you really need to boost it beyond that, you can always put some extract in too, you know.
DME. And in fact, you know, I'm not going to lie, I'm not ashamed of it. I sometimes brew extract batches just for time's sake.
Yeah.
And these do just fine. It's just an electric boil kettle at that point. So that's the only downside I would say in this is you don't have the three vessels. You don't have the ability to change things up. You really have one vessel and a mash sleeve or whatever you want to call it that goes in that main vessel.
Right. Well, what are some of the key features to look for in these systems? I know some of them have pumps, some of them have digital control, you know, various levels of digital automation and so on. What are some of the distinguishing features?
You know, start with voltage. You need to know what you've got. We have a chart on our website that will walk you through. Every product will tell you what its voltage is as well. But, you know, the beauty is if you have access to 220 where you want to brew, that's kind of fantastic. That opens up all the worlds for you. But a lot of us don't. And we want that 110. We want to be able to travel with it. So that's where you're going to start with. And, you know, with that, you just kind of have to know that, you know, if you're doing a 5 gallon batch and you're doing it 110, your heating times are going to take a little longer than 220. Your vigor of your boil is going to be limited to that voltage and your ability to keep it warm. Mm-hmm. So the second point I have on here is the heating elements. There are, and what controls them, how many of them are there and what controls them? You get into your basic level ones, and I'll name some names here. You know, your mash and boil, your Digimash, your Brewzillas. Those are kind of your common ones you're seeing out there in the marketplace that are mechanical relays. These are usually controlling one of a few burners elements that are in the bottom of the system. What's nice is some of them, you can run all three, you can run one. So it depends on what you're doing. You're just keeping a boil going. I'll probably go the middle of the line. I'm getting to a boil. I've got them all on. I'm keeping my mash controlled. I'll just use the small one because I'm already at temperature and I'm just keeping the mash controlled. Mm-hmm. So then you have some of them, the Foundry, the Grainfather, and the Braumeister. They're using solid state controllers to control the one element that does it.
So like a microcontroller of some kind?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And solid state in the long run, if you're brewing this many times, I'll be shocked on any of it, is going to last a lot longer than a mechanical switch. But we're talking, you know, a few hundred thousand batches. So
yeah,
we got a while. Actually, I should say cycles. So, you know, you're still talking, you know, tens of thousands of batches.
And most of these are stainless steel, right? So, I mean, they'll last practically forever, right?
They're all stainless steel. Yeah. So really easy. Physically, they will last forever. Some are thicker than others. Some are, you know, I'll say a little more better built, but you pay those differences.
And that's probably the heating element's the only thing that might fail eventually, but.
Exactly. And most of them have parts that you can get. You can, you know, new logic boards if those go out on you over time, new burners if you need to, pumps. Yeah. So that kind of brings me to the next thing, which is the controls. Mm-hmm. You know, this is going to be your control central. Well, do you need it? That's question one I have. My first system I had on here, I still brew on periodically, and it had no controls, really. It didn't have a pump. It just, the heater turned on and off. You set a temp and it would literally just turn off at that temp, i.e. the mash. I used a traditional, you know, Pyrex thing to recirculate it when it was done. and great beer on it. But then people started introducing pumps, and that mm-hmm. really makes it convenient. Clarity, but then all of a sudden you can do step mashes because you have a pump, and now that's easier. And then controlling all of that in one swoop. So some have pumps, some have don't, some have pumps that you can add. Some are integrated into the base, some are separated.
Let's talk about the advantage of having a pump versus not, right?
So pump, right away, step mash is probably number one. Clarity is probably number two. And then cooling is probably number three. And transferring to your fermenter. So those are the things you would commonly use your pump for. Pumps are cool, but they introduce problems, potentially. That, you know, you got to keep them clean inside. You got to keep them running. You want to take them apart periodically. You want to make sure, especially if you're going to use it post-chilling, that it's bacteria-free. So while there is all these positives, there's a few, I don't want to say negatives, but few things that go hand-in-hand with having one. With that being said, pumps are very popular, and the most popular ones we sell have pumps on them. Mm-hmm. And then each one has their own ability to control how you're going to control it. And, you know, some have programmable steps, some have manual steps, and some you can kind of fully auto mash, if you will. And then one of them has an app, or two of them have apps that you can control, but you're really just controlling the same thing that you could control right on it versus doing it on your phone.
You just don't have to get out of your lawn chair at that point, right?
Well, one of the things is take a look at the pictures of most of these, and you will see that the controller is at the bottom right there. You can see it. It's at the very, very bottom of that. Mm-hmm. And many of the other ones are too. Now, the grandfather, they put it up a little bit, and they put it at an angle, which is nice. You can see it. It's a little bit higher. So it depends on where you're starting with that. Are you starting on the floor? Are you starting up on a tabletop? And one of the things to consider on your first batch is, remember, if you're 5 gallons or any size, and you're not going to set up like a block and tackle system, you are going to literally have to pick up that mash basket that has grains and liquid in those grains and lift it up. And then usually a quarter turn will lock it and allow it to stay on top. But if that's already at your shoulder level, it's not so easy to lift that thing up above your head safely because it's hot.
We were talking about getting exercise equipment earlier. So this is, you know, some good exercise, right?
Exactly. And so I do it on the ground because I have a pump on my system now, but the other one, I didn't have a pump. I would do it on the ground and then I would lift the whole thing up for then transferring to my fermenter. But, and you know, it's 5 gallons. Mine are, at least currently.
So 50 some odd pounds, probably.
Not bad. You know, even if it's up to 60 or 70, they actually, most of them have nice handles on them too. So if you have a buddy, lifting them up to a table is really not that bad. But
I forget to do metric because we have a lot of international listeners. So 5 gallons, about 19 liters, right? And 50 pounds is, I don't know, 20 something kilos, I guess.
Ah, you're good. Yeah. I grew up in the American education system. Sorry. But yeah, that's what pumps and controls are getting you. So that's where a lot of people, they start the game of like, ooh, I can get into this for 350, but they, a lot of times they'll go up another 100 or so to gain a little more control. And then sometimes they go up to, 2000 because they want the different features and such. But as we're going down our list, you know, we got our controllers with our pumps. Then we have chillers. Uh-huh. Most of them come with a very basic stainless steel coil that fits perfectly in the boil. It's interesting because these are mostly made overseas that they don't always have tubing and fittings. So you kind of have to pay attention when you're ordering it. We have kits that usually we give you for free, depending on which model, that we will throw in the tubing and clamps and the garden hose fitting. But many are immersion chillers. Some don't have chillers because you could kind of choose your own.
So some of them do have chillers built right in then, huh?
They're not, they're drop-ins, you know.
Drop-in, okay. Coil chillers, I guess.
Exactly. And then like the grandfather has a counterflow chiller, and they've always been counterflow as opposed to immersion. benefits of both of them. That's not a discussion for this topic, but just remember that some don't have a chiller. Most kind of do, and you just kind of want to pay attention to what you're getting and you know that you might need some extra parts to be able to hook it to water. Mm-hmm. Next feature you want to look for is, how is it insulated? There's two types of these. There's single-walled ones that oftentimes a neoprene jacket is sold separately. Sometimes it's bundled in. And then there are kinds that are double-walled. So like the Foundry is a double wall. And like the Braumeister is it's really a single wall, but it actually has a jacket on there that you could run glycol through.
Nice.
And then most of the other ones are single-walled. And the verdict's still out on that, of, you know, quote, what's better. When I first heard John was, you know, doing the Foundry with a vacuum double-walled system, I thought of, you know, my coffee cups and my Yeti drinks and such. And you're like, oh, got to have that. Those are great. But then I was thinking, like, wait, what's the first thing I do after my boil's over with my neoprene jacket on my system? Because that's what I have now. So I take it off. Let that heat out. Don't hold that heat in. So it's kind of like when you're heating, yes, it's nice. You want to keep that heat in. But when you're cooling, I want to let that out. But from a construction standpoint, that double wall feels thick, feels nice, where the single wall, you know, feels like a single wall.
Probably really helps, because we were mentioning some of the 110 systems are on the marginal edge in terms of power, right?
Exactly. In fact, if you get a single walled system, please get the jacket. It's great. It's one, I will be honest, it keeps most of the mess off your thing, so cleanup's actually even easier. And two, you will need it for a good vigorous boil.
Yeah.
Unless you're going 220.
Yeah.
And it helps you get to heat faster. So then the next feature to look at is the grain basket design. And most of them have the same. The entry-level systems are the same. It's a solid. So you have the exterior vessel. Then you have an interior where it's a slightly smaller diameter. And it's usually solid stainless all the way down to the bottom. And then it's a perforated, integrated bottom. A lot of them used to make it where that was take-apartable, and that was a nightmare. Most of them are integrated in there now. Mm-hmm. The Foundry, Anvil Foundry, did a nice job of, they actually micro-perfed up from there, too. A little bit. So you don't just get the bottom drain, you actually get some side drain too, which definitely would help if you're going to do a lot of adjunct burring.
Right.
Because this tends to make for a bit of a smaller surface area. So if you are going to do adjunct burring on most of them, any of them, any brew system, let's face it, you probably want to be adding rice hulls to the bottom to make sure you are preventing that, but a little bit more in one of these systems. But for the most part, they're all the same concept, where you have a bottom screen. Most of them have a top screen and the grains in between. And you just have this almost capsule that you're putting in. If you have a pump system, usually they have a way on the top that the water comes in and is distributed a little bit, so that when it's going through the little grain basket, it's getting circulated and not channeling to where you're really not getting that exposure.
Nice. So, I mean, so I assume you get halfway decent efficiency off these things then.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Especially with the pumps. I didn't know at first when I was first using them, how much strike water to use. And we'll talk a little bit about that, but you know, these are things. Yeah. Recently gave one to a friend, previous employee here, who wants to get back into brewing, and he's got a Pico, he's got an old, more beer, brew sculpture. So he's brewed on all kinds of things. So I sent him one of these and he's been sending me questions. And, you know, I'm like, hey, there's no substitute to actually using it, because he wanted every answer, you know, completely answered before he went to use it. And I think the biggest one that's hard is how much absorption, how much, you know, what are you going to do? Are you going to, you know, go in with more start water and mash in a higher ratio of water to grain, or are you going to do the more traditional water to grain and add water? Yeah. Are you going to try to sparge, i.e. having another hot water vessel that you're pouring over it when it's sitting on top. And that's what I've been doing.
Hmm. I mean, typically they're run as a brew in a bag system, which means you generally put the water in up front, right?
Exactly. Yeah. But some people still like to, even on those systems, they still like to rinse their bag, trying to maximize every sugar. We're brewers. We like to get everything out that we can.
Yeah.
But that's kind of it. Then, you know, I have one more feature to look at. You're considering an all-in-one system. And that's, you know, if you're concerned about your water quality, and I'll just give you a nice big wink on that one, is many of them are distillation capable.
Interesting.
And they really, these really accelerate if that's something you're ever thinking of doing, because you have electronic controls. So your temperature control is usually spot on. They're dead quiet. You're running these things for long periods of time. So, pretty incredible if that's something you're interested in doing.
Interesting. Well, Chris, we've got about 20-ish minutes left. I wanted to actually walk through some of the systems and maybe you talk about some of the positives and negatives for each one, or advantages, disadvantages, if you will.
Sure.
So I was hoping we could start. Let's start with the Braumeister, since I think that's one of the older systems, certainly been around quite a while, from Germany, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. No, that is what I would call the original. I don't typically lump them into what's out there now because they're just very different. But in reality, they're really the same. And they're the original. And you know, we've been selling those for years. And people who've had them absolutely love them. Typically, though, they're 220, and that's the first pain point. They're also a higher cost item. They don't start at these 300 and some odds.
Yeah, you see, even the 20-liter one's like $1,500, it looks like.
Exactly. There's a great homebrewer down in Arizona. I forget his name right now, but he's the head of their guild and everything. And man, he loves those systems. And he's got several of them. That's the amazing part.
Wow.
But I would say these are the originals. They're a little bit weird in that they work the opposite of what you would expect. We're all used to when you're pumping or doing anything with your grain, the water is going with gravity. It's flowing down.
Mm-hmm.
They actually pump up to the center, go through the grain basket to the center and spill over the top and then round down.
Almost like an old percolator, it sounds like, huh?
Exactly. And what's also different with them over any of the other systems is their elements are actually in the liquid.
Interesting.
They're not infused in the bottom plate, but they're actually in there. So they're going to be the most effective. They're a low density, or I forget how you say it, but you know, they're really meant not to scorch. And amazing. At first I was like, you got to be kidding me that we're going to have these electric elements in there and not caramelize like crazy. But after brewing on them, I'm like, no, those Germans did a great job, and they don't. The other points I'll make about them, we've already talked about their cost point,
sure.
But their quality is just amazing. The stainless, the thickness, especially on the bigger units, like they keep going, 50 liter, 200 liter. They're these things are like tanks in terms of thickness of stainless and such. And you know, we have Spiedel over when in most of the conferences. So if you've come, you've often met someone from there who will speak German with you, and they mostly speak English as well. But they're very proud of what they make, and they're beautiful works of art.
Mm-hmm.
They also, some of the things they have, they've made some cool little add-ons too. They have an app, so they're one of the ones with an app. They have a very nice control panel on the bottom, but they also made an app, and they've also made funny little devices like measuring the airlock. They made a special airlock that can count your bubbles. And, you know, it's a nice little way to know when you're at peak versus when you're slowing down in fermentation.
So, I mean, do you actually ferment in this thing too, I guess, or no?
You can. No, they make stainless and plastic fermenters that can go along.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah. But it's just, oh, it's tied into their app software. Sorry, that's where I was
going. Okay, yeah. So, okay, well, what about the next one, which would be the Grainfather? Again, been around for quite a few years, probably one of the more popular countertop systems over the last few years.
Exactly. In fact, I'll call it the godfather of these all-in-one systems. It's really the first lower cost model coming out that you could brew all-in-one like this. You know, the Spidel and at 110, that probably being the biggest thing right there. So they were kind of first to market, all said and done. And I brewed on that system really nice, nicely made. You know, it, like I said, it comes with a counterflow system, so or a counterflow chiller. So you're going to want to get familiar with that. You know, the immersion's kind of, I don't want to say idiot-proof that the other ones have. This one has the counterflow right there, which is very effective at cooling fast. They've done a nice job of color coding everything, so it's easy to know where your lines go. Integrated pump. It's a nice setup. The control panel's up off the ground, like we showed in the picture earlier, and it's at an angle. I'm 6'3". It's something I can see from standing up and not have to like literally lay on the ground to go program, which is nice. It does come in at a slightly higher price point than some of the other ones. You're starting at $1,000.
I'm looking. This one's listed for 800, but I don't know what it has in it. So,
yeah, okay, that's right. The chart I'm looking at doesn't include the base model, so they have the 800, and then they go up from there.
Yeah,
they're all nice, and then they just released their 10-gallon system. Again, you'll need 220 because you're using 3,300 watts in that thing. But it's a beautiful system for $2,000. But if you want to do 10-gallon batches, probably better for a club or whatnot. But it's a tough time for clubs to be meeting right now. In fact, our club's doing all virtual at this point.
Yeah, I've been doing a lot of virtual presentations. So and it's been fun. It's great. You know, we actually had good participation.
I was going to say, I think I'm part of Club Doze. Ol and I founded that years ago with a few of the still members, which is awesome. But I almost feel in certain ways they've upped their game, and I'm sure many of the other clubs have too, which has been pretty cool. And doing group tastings, we're doing one of those coming up soon. We have three members who won medals at the GABF. And so we're buying into their bottles and cans. And going to do a tasting with them presenting each one, which is just a blast.
Yeah. Well, let's go into the Brewzilla series, I think. You know, this is one of the ones that is in that lower cost price point, right?
Exactly. And this one is, for us, one of the most, you know, interesting series. So we're going to talk about DigiMash as well. Yeah. But these are very similar units. Same factory, same manufacturer. And this is a company out of Australia who's been pioneering these. And not manufactured in China, but designed and engineered. And they have a homebrew shop there. And this guy's really dynamic and does a great job and really listens to feedback and keeps reiterating and reiterating and reiterating each one, which has been really fun. And is a passionate homebrewer too, which is awesome. Because these things are getting, you know, automated mash setups and whatnot, which is cool.
Yeah.
They come in two sizes, five. They have, in the 5 gallon size, they have a 110 and a 220. And then in the 10 gallon size, they have a 220 one. And I would say the 110 5 gallon size is by far our most top-selling product. It's a little higher price point than some of the other ones. But
here with the pump, it's $400, it looks like.
So. Yeah, exactly. And it has the automation. It has all the features to it that people just tend to want. You can start at a lower cost, but you're a little more manual. This has everything that particular type of brewer may want built into it already.
Mm-hmm. Anything else on that one before we switch, I guess?
Nothing that we haven't talked about in terms of, you know, it checked up for me, it checks off all the check marks on the,
so you have the, you have the pump, you have the controller, you have, a lot of those, you know, the digital controller, a lot of those features all built in one, right?
built-in heat exchanger, or not built-in heat exchanger, drop-in stainless heat exchanger. You put a jacket on that one. It's a single-walled one. And it's the one I like to brew on. I guess I'll say it that way. And I actually own a Digimash, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But this is the one that when we have set up in the brew room, that is just fun to brew on because, you know, you tend to get into doing other things like cleaning, setting up your fermentation, blah, blah, blah. And with this one, I don't have to worry about the entire mash.
Right.
It's handled for me.
Nice. Well, let's talk about the next one, which is the mash and boil, I think, here, right?
Cool. And the mash and boil is interesting. It's a newer one to us, but it's not new in the market. It's very close right after the grandfather. And it was picked up by one of the bigger wholesalers in the market. Mm-hmm. And so it has been out at a lot of shops. So a lot of homebrewers have this system. It's a nice system. It's your baseline system. It is a double-walled system, so it's a little thicker in there. It's got basic mash controller. It's manual step mashing. It's not automated for you, but still, this is very doable things. It's got a single element mechanical relay one, so finite temp control. You're running it more on the cycling when you're up at temperature rather than just being able to turn off some of the other burners.
Mm-hmm.
Some people don't mind it. Some people like that ability. But your final volume is 7.5 gallons. So plenty big for boils, things like that. Just a overall nice system.
Nice. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
And at a really nice price point.
Yeah, I was looking at the price on this one. $349 is what you're listing right now, so pretty good.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's talk about the Digimash, which I think comes in three sizes, and you mentioned you actually own one, right?
Exactly. It's one of the originals out of this factory, so that's one I have, and I still use it. I keep thinking, you know, I'm going to upgrade, and I will, but it's like I have it, and it works. So I'm doing manual mashes when I use it. It holds 9.25 gallons, so plenty of space.
Wow.
And it's got a starting point without a pump of $229. So it's just like, holy cow, it's cheap.
That's fairly inexpensive, I think.
Yeah, and what that's probably going to become for me is a hot water vessel, an extract brew day, a double brew day where I want to do a DME batch in one and an all grain in another. So it'll have use for me when I'm no longer using it as the primary system. Again, I got 7-year-old twins, so my brew days are limited. So I'm not brewing as much as I could. But then they got another one, so you can get an optional pump. It's about another $100.
Mm-hmm.
They have the next one, which is $220, same exact thing. Then they have the next one, which is the 17-gallon version of it. And that's $220, but you're doing, you know, a 10-gallon batch, you know, for $340. These are prices that are kind of hard to beat. And then if you're adding a pump, again, it's $100 to add that. But you're doing things manually.
Does not have all the automated control, not quite like some of the other ones we talked about.
Not like the Brewzilla or the, you know, if you get the grandfather with the app. Or the Braumeister, those have more of automation, where the other ones have more of like a, you're going to help it step mash.
Right. Okay. And then I think the last one we were going to talk about, which is a new entry relatively, is the Anvil Foundry, which is from Blickman Engineering.
Exactly. And hopefully John's listening to this because he did tell me that he was going to send me one to brew on and he never did. So
I can harass him. I've got his text right here. I texted him today, actually.
My bad that I didn't follow up with him, but I would like to use the system. And we drop ship with John on a lot of things. So it's a bummer in that I don't have one in-house. And I should probably change that. It is one with, like I said earlier, he's got solid state controllers, which are awfully nice. He's got He's got manual step mashing, but I believe he has some integrated controls. I got to look up a little bit more that you can do on it. You got the immersion chiller that comes with it. But his grain basket is a little more unique. Not only the perfed bottom, but also perf around the sides up a certain distance. I forget exactly how far it goes up, but just little things like that are you know, gonna be nice.
Well, one of the nice things I found over the years with the Blickman systems is just the detail, attention to detail is something that
he tends to do a very nice job. Now, you know, his Anvil line is one of his lines that you're not getting the full Blickman experience, but you're getting a pretty darn good one.
I think the main difference, the Anvil ones, as you mentioned, and all these systems are actually made in China, right?
Exactly. But you think about it, a Blickman product for $369, that's pretty darn nice. And then you can put a pump on it for another $100, and you got yourself a pretty awesome system.
Yeah, and that is basically a complete system, right? So it's very similar to a lot of the other ones we're looking at.
I was going
to
say, it's right in line with, you know, the DigiMash, the Mash and Boil, the Bruzilla. They're all kind of right in that same zone.
Right. And what's changed is the prices have come down pretty dramatically, right?
Exactly. And that's, and what's great for consumers is when you have so many manufacturers doing this, you know, the prices tend to get in line. Now, there are other brands out there. If you go on Alibaba, AliExpress, eBay, there are all kinds of brands I've never heard of. It's kind of like shopping on Amazon nowadays, that look just like any of these ones we're talking about today. My biggest concern with most of them is, what are they backed by? You know, and that's probably what you want to ask yourself is, how much savings are you getting and what are they going to be backed up by? There's one thing to copy people. The nice thing about all of the systems we went over today is, yes, they're all a copy of something else in one form or another. Even though, you know, it's like the Braumeister simplified Big Brew houses, the Grainfather simplified the Braumeister, these other ones, you know, took what those guys had done and did this, but they're all trying to improve on themselves, which is pretty cool. And that, again, as consumers, we win.
Yeah. Well, I have to ask, which one's the most popular at the moment?
The Bruzilla. By far. I think the guy who's making them, he puts out these videos, and we get a line of people waiting for us to get our shipments in. And when we start selling them pre-book, they sell almost instantly.
And has this been a problem too, getting them from, they all come from China. So has it been difficult to get some of these systems?
Some of them, yes. And you know, some come from China directly to me. Some come to China to other distribution centers and then to either me or drop ship, like I talked about. So it's a little bit, and you know, whosever website you're on, look at the lead times, look at when you will be getting them, because they should be on there. Are they in stock? Are they drop ship? Blickman's great. Don't get me wrong. When in stock, he's shipping fast. So he is a drop shipper, but quick. We stock Mash and Boil, Grainfathers, Digi Mash, and Bruzillas. Actually, Grainfathers, I think we drop ship. I have to look that up. I apologize. And we stock Braumeisters too. So, by far the Bruzilla, especially when he came out with the automated mash, people just ate that up.
And is that why that one's the most popular? I mean, obviously the price point's very good.
I think the price point, who's making it and the auto, people just want that auto mash and you know, it's cool. It's repeatable. That is the nice part of it. But they're all, there's none of these that I'm going to say like, oh, be careful if you go buy that one.
Yeah.
They're all really nicely made.
Well, Chris, wanted to get your closing thoughts on anybody looking to purchase one of these, sort of compact all-in-one brewing systems.
Think of this as either your primary brew house, which has become for myself, or just a really cool auxiliary one. At some of these prices, that we're not talking huge investments. I know I'm not trying to downplay it. It's not, nothing, but really cool in that you could throw it in the back of your car, bring it to a friend's house, do a batch. As long as they have power, you're good. Really fun to brew on, dead quiet, and easy to clean, easy to set up, and pretty simplified brewing. And like I said earlier, I'll probably reuse what I have to serve as different things. I also do a lot of sous vide cooking, and I didn't even mention that, but these also make pretty cool, especially if you get one with the pump. If you want to do some bigger sous vides, these are great for that.
Interesting. Well, Chris, again, I thank you for coming on the show. Appreciate you being here and you know, giving us some good information on some of the new systems coming out.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Again, today on the show, my guest was Chris Graham. He's the president of More Beer, which is one of the largest homebrew shops in the United States. And Chris, again, thank you.
Thank you.
A big thank you to Chris Graham for joining me this week. Thanks also to Craft Beer and Brewing Magazine. They offer access to videos, brewing courses, exclusive articles, and the amazing Craft Beer and Brewing Magazine. Go to beerandbrewing.com to get your subscription today. Again, that's beerandbrewing.com. And also the Brew Commander, the new brewhouse controller from Blickman Engineering. It's available in electric and gas propane models. The patent-pending Brew Commander is a high-quality brewhouse controller that offers automated step mashing, boil timers, precision temperature control, and advanced settings. Command your brew day with the new Brew Commander. To order yours today, visit BlickmanEngineering.com for more information. Again, that's BlickmanEngineering.com. And finally, I urge you to give Beersmith 3 Brewing Software a try. If you've not downloaded the new 3.1 update for both mobile and desktop, grab it now as it includes improved data storage, additional dry hop options, new mash pH models, new add-ons, and much more. To download a free 21-day trial, go to beersmith.com today. Again, that's beersmith.com. Thank you for listening, and I hope you have a great brewing week.